In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of the activities that our preschool has done here, which I'm sure is like, it's got to be favorite activity of pretty much every school everywhere in the spring. But one of the activities they've done is, you know, to take a styrofoam cup and put some potting soil in it, and then you have the kids put a seed in it in the spring, you're going to watch it grow, right? And it's pretty cool because, of course, they get to watch us sing this seed grow into a plant. But, I mean, think about how easy this literally is. I mean, you literally, the kids just take a little seed and just push it in like a half inch or so. What is that? It takes like 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
This is all it takes to plant a seed. But then, of course, they get to come back to class every day, you know, and see this. Seed, it sprouts, and then it grows into a plant, and then they get to show mom and dad, and mom and dad are impressed, and they can say, you know, look what I did in school, mom. You know, I pushed a seed into potting soil. It took 1.5 seconds. Right? But this is a cool thing. Now, would you now think that these same 3- and 4-year-olds, because they've now planted a seed, right, would you now say they are ready to be full-time farmers? Right? Hey, they planted a seed. Let's go buy them a few hundred acres, and we'll let them take over the farm. I'm sure they'll be producing 200 bushel corn in no time, right? None of us would say that. It's ridiculous, right? No one would jump from, I pushed a seed into potting soil, to, I'm an experienced farmer. There are countless other things you have to take into consideration, like how to prepare a soil, how to do fertilizer, how to get the right seed, how to keep insects and animals away, how to pray for rain, how to spray for weeds, and all this stuff that goes in, right? And then, of course, you've got to have millions of dollars to buy any farm ground, so that's going to be a problem. But just because you pushed a seed into a cup doesn't mean we're ready to call you an experienced farmer. Now, what about Jesus? Also in preschool, we do all kinds of things with the kids about Jesus, right? I mean, we like to think that every kid that leaves our preschool is going to know that Jesus loves them and Jesus died for their sins. So we sing Jesus Loves Me, right? All kinds of times, because we want to make sure they know that. But would you then say, oh, okay, now these same 3- and 4-year-olds are ready. They know all they need to know about Jesus for the rest of their lives. They don't need any more church or Sunday school after that, right? Well, again, that would sound ridiculous. But yet we kind of think this way sometimes about faith. That it's as simple as, well, I know the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, the Bible tells me so. Well, yeah, that's a good summary, it's very helpful, but learning that song in preschool and thinking that you never need to hear the word again or go to church again, or that's as silly as thinking you can put a seed in a coffee cup and you can now be an experienced farmer. We have to, as Christians, get past this simplistic idea of the Christian faith, or what we would maybe call our overconfidence. Well, I know all of this. I know Jesus died for me. I know that He, you know, died for our sins, so I don't really need anything more than that. Well, Jesus tells a parable about that. The foolish man who builds his house on the sand, it's not going to stand. So this is what this parable is about. I've given a long introduction, basically just to say that this parable is a warning against being overly confident. It's a warning against thinking, well, I learned that in preschool, so I know everything I need to know. There are dangers to the Christian faith. Every time God plants the seed, the Word of God, into our hearts, there are enemies. There's the devil, right? The birds that are there to devour at least half of it. And I can prove this to you, very, very simple thing. All you have to think about is when I go to church, and I hear for an hour, I hear God's word, right? We sing God's word, we pray God's word, we respond with God's word, right? We hear God's word. So in an hour of church, how much of that actually gets into my heart? What would you say? If you say over half of it, then I'm pretty impressed, right? That's your easy sign there that the devil is always working. He is always working to keep that word of God from actually getting into our hearts. And he does that in a gazillion ways. You know, at church, we're thinking about this, that, and the other thing, what we're going to do afterwards, all this stuff. So if we can come to grips with the fact that every time we're hearing the word of God, the demon birds are there trying to devour it, well, then we're going to realize we need to hear this quite a bit. He also mentions the testing, the cares and pleasures of life. Well, when testing comes, see, you're going to need more than just, well, Jesus loves me. This I know. I learned it in preschool. You need an armor. That's what St. Paul says in Ephesians 6. You need a sword. You need a shield, a breastplate. You need a helmet. Right? Because, of course, that testing and trial is hard. And you're going to need to be praying. You're going to need to be going to church, receiving the sacrament. So this is the warning here. And we all know this. We just kind of make light of it. So some of you in here are farmers. Many of you are gardeners. So how vulnerable, when you plant that little seed in the spring and it comes out of the ground, how vulnerable is that little plant? Right? Do you need a track hoe to uproot that thing? Or can you easily kill it about 100 different ways? You can stomp on it. You can just yank it out real easily. You know, you can drown it. Some little varmint can come and eat it up. So here's Jesus' warning that we need to hold fast to that sprout, to that seedling, to that Word of God. How foolish of us to think that we don't need to keep on hearing the Word of God. How foolish to think that we don't need prayer or we don't need the sacrament. Because Jesus says the birds are going to devour you, the sun is going to scorch you, and the thorns are going to choke you. So hold fast, he says. That's the warning here. Now, having said all of that, then I can tell you, though, there is also an incredible comfort in this parable. That in this parable, the farmer is God himself. Now, if you're going to pick some farmer that you want to be taking care of this seed, who better in the whole world than God himself? He's the one that, of course, planted all the gardens. He's the one that planted the Garden of Eden, planted every field that we harvest every year. So if you want a farmer that's going to take care of this little vulnerable seedling, you want him. And most of all, I'd like you to know one thing this morning about this farmer, your farmer, and that is that he is patient. He's patient. We sometimes think being a Christian is this kind of snap of the fingers, right? I go to church, I commit my life to Jesus, and boom, I'm done. But God knows better than that. He's a farmer. He knows about patience. See, farmers know about patience. They wait all winter for the ground to be ready for them to plant. Then they got to wait for, you know, the temperature to be right. They got to till it just right. They got to wait, you know, for just the right time to plant the seeds. They got to wait for the right sun, the right rain. They got to wait for the shoots to grow. They got to wait for the fruit to come. They got to wait for the harvest. They know about waiting. And so does God. God is extremely patient with you and me. You're a sinner, and God knows that. But he also knows that you can produce good fruit. And so he's patient. He sends his son Jesus to you over and over and over again. He plants the word. And he plants, and he plants, and he waters, and he waters, and he waters, and he weeds, and he weeds, and he weeds. He chases away the birds and the varmints. He's very patient with you and me. Now, the key words that I'm talking to you about are the very last ones of our reading today, Luke 8:15, where Jesus says, bear fruit with patience. We are impatient. We want it to happen right now, God. But God, the Master Gardener, he works on us. He cultivates patience in us. We fight against it, right? We're like little kids that think we know it all already, right? We think we know it all because we can plant a seed in a cup or because we know Jesus loves me. We think this faith is easy child's play, but God is patient, and he teaches us to be patient ourselves. So be patient, Christians. You know the saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. 200 bushel corn doesn't grow in a day. It takes time. It takes prayer, takes meditation on God's Word, and it takes a whole lot of Christ. Now, I think all of you, if I ask, will be able to realize how true this is. Isn't it extremely humbling to think how patient God has already been with us? I know it's humbling for me to think how patient he has been with me, how many weeds he's had to pull out, how many times he's had to send more rain, right? And how many times we've thought we knew everything just to find out that we were sorely mistaken. But God is patient, and He forgives, and He forgives, and He forgives, and He plants, and He plants. He's a patient God. Now, as an example of this, St. Paul, we have a reading today from 1 Corinthians. St. Paul wanted him to work quicker. Paul says he has this thorn stuck in his side. Those thorns, you know, they hurt. You've got a thorn. And I don't know what you picture when you picture a thorn. When he says, I've got a thorn in my flesh, don't picture like rose bush kind of thorn. In our pastures growing up, we had trees with thorns that were like 5 or 6 inches long. That's the kind of thorn you need to picture. Paul has a thorn stuck in his side, and he says to God, get rid of it, God. I don't want this. I can't handle it. And God says, no, because remember, God is patient. No, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul says again, God, I can't handle it. Get rid of it. And God says, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And one more time, the third time, Paul says, God, I cannot handle this. And God says, no. He is patient. Someone wore those thorns for you and me. Our Savior Jesus wore a whole crown full of those thorns, and they made Him bleed for us. But He patiently endured. And because of that, His grace is sufficient for us to patiently endure. And finally, I come to my last point that I really want you to know. And that is that you will bear good fruit. After all, how can you not? Because the master farmer is taking care of you. And when he plants his seed, when he plants his son Jesus Christ, his word, we know that fruit will come. And we need to learn patience. Right? Even right now, as you're hearing the word of God today, it's working. And you may want it to work faster, or you may not feel like it's working, but God is patient, and He always works when He sends His word. We get frustrated. You know, you may be extremely frustrated with yourself that you hear the word and then you keep on sinning. Or you may be entirely frustrated because you've prayed and prayed to ask God to take something away and He doesn't take it away. Patience. This is how God works, right? Don't doubt the farmer. He knows what he's doing. And I can then say that as I look out at all of you, I can know that God is working because I see it all the time. Right? We sometimes have a hard time seeing it in ourselves, but I can see it in all of you. And I know that the master farmer has worked good fruit in all of you through his patience, right? Through your love for him, your love for one another. People who give generously of their time and their money. And all of this is the good fruit that God works in us through patience and His Word. So remember His patience. God is working with you. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Keep receiving the Lord's Supper. Keep doing your devotions every day. And hold fast to that Word. He will work. Patience. In Jesus' name, amen. And peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.